I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage.
You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, and joining me is Hall of Fame member Ray Stevens. Ray, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, you're a legend, and I was at your Hall of Fame induction for the Country Music Hall of Fame. Yes, I was in the audience. Saw you get inducted, and I loved Ricky Skaggs getting up there doing Misty, and then they also inducted Brooks and Dunn that night. It was just a really great memory. What did that feel like, having all these people honoring you?
Well, it was kind of surreal, if you want to know the truth. I guess I was in a semi-state of shock. I don't know, but it was great. I enjoyed every minute of it.
What was your favorite part of that night?
Oh, gosh, I guess maybe the girls that got up and sang Jesus Loves the Little Children prior to Everything is Beautiful. And, oh man, the audience was electrified. And I was too by that. It sounded so good.
It did. It was an amazing performance. And I have to imagine it's surreal being inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. And I loved being a part of that because I grew up listening to you. I grew up on your music. You know, listen, you are known as the most successful country comedy performer, I think, of all time. And there have been a lot of people try and follow in your footsteps, but I don't think they've sold the albums you have. And I don't think that they have had the kind of success you've had. So congratulations on an amazing career.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure you're accurate, but sounds good. Thanks.
You're releasing a lot of new music this year. You've got 4 albums of timeless songs coming out. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I've been in the studio for quite some time, just recording what I wanted to do. And I had concepts for each album going in, and I cut 4 albums. So it's like 12 sides each, 48 sides.
Wow.
And each album is packaged in its own, you know, cover and all. And then I'm going to put all 4 together and call it Iconic Songs of the 20th Century, the soundtrack of our lives, so to speak. And I'm in the studio now recording another 4 albums that'll round it out and hopefully hit every decade in the 20th century with the songs that are included. So I'm looking forward to finishing that up and being able to put out volume 1 is what we're calling this Iconic Songs of the 20th Century, volume 1. And then I'll be able to supplement that with volume 2. So
how on earth do you choose songs?
I just choose what I want.
Whatever you like, right? You know,
I think
if you like it, most people are also going to like it, especially your fans. I just don't know how you, if that's a massive project. That's a huge undertaking. And to narrow down songs in this century, there are so many great ones. That's got to be a daunting task.
Well, I've got more time than I used to have because I'm not on the road anymore. You know, since COVID hit, nobody's on the road anymore, hardly. And in preparation for not going on the road, early on, I built a cabaret. I guess it's been 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6, I don't know. But you've heard of the cabaret, I hope.
I have. Cabaret, and that is a very clever way of spelling it, C-A-B-A-R-A-Y. Yeah. I like that.
Well, I'm just ignorant. I didn't know how to spell it, really.
No, yes, you did. You sure did. I think it's brilliant. And I know that you've actually had a lot of really great guests join you in your new theater in West Nashville. You host, it's a dinner show, right?
And well, it can be. Yeah, we're geared for that. When I was working the road pretty heavily, I used to play Vegas some, and my favorite place to play out there was a place called the Desert Inn, and it's no longer there. They tore it down. But the room there that I worked, I loved the feel of the room, and so I tried to steal some of the ideas out of that room. The Celebrity Room, I think it was called.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And incorporate some of the things from that into the cabaret. And it turned out pretty good, I think.
Well, I think I know what it looks like because I think I've played the same room in Vegas that you're talking
about. Maybe
it
was called the Crystal Room. I can't
Celebrity?
Remember.
Crystal or Celebrity? Well, they both start with a C.
That's right. Yeah, that's what confused me.
Well, you know, I think it's pretty amazing. And some of the guests you've had in there, Dina Carter, Steve Warner, and who I'm sure, you know, talks about Chet Atkins all the time. My buddy Mark Wills appeared there. And you do a TV series from there as well, right?
Yeah, we started the TV show before the cabaret was built. And we used to shoot it down at a little video studio that I had on 17th Avenue South, Music Row. But as soon as the cabaret was finished, why, we moved over and began shooting the show at the cabaret. And it's called Ray Stevens Cabaret Nashville is the name of the show. And it's a lot of fun to shoot it. And it looks really good in the cabaret. We built in lights and sound for the purpose of shooting a television show as well as live performances. So it's really turned out well.
So did you record your new music in your new theater?
Well, I recorded it in a studio that is adjacent to the theater in the same building. And I built a studio. When I sold my offices on Music Row, I had a couple of studios down there. And as soon as I sold them, it wasn't a couple of weeks and they had torn them down. So I had to have another studio, and I built one here at the cabaret, and it sounds really good. I enjoy working here.
Who are some of the other guests that you've had on the show and at the cabaret?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I lose track. It's Well, I wish I hadn't asked that.
that's okay. We can edit if you can.
I'm having a mental block here. But totally John agree. Schneider was on, Mo Bandy.
Oh, man.
Who else?
Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees. He was on.
I got to tell you a story. The last time I saw John Schneider, I embarrassed myself so bad because I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old and had the biggest crush on Bo Duke. So here I am, you know, a much older person and an adult. And he showed up like at a John Barry TV taping a couple of years ago. And I literally stood there googly eyed. I couldn't even speak. I just reminded myself of a 13-year-old adolescent girl. And I don't know what happened. Something happened to me when he walked in the room. It was the strangest thing.
He's a handsome guy. That's for sure.
Yeah. He's held out pretty good. Hasn't he? He's still
he sure has.
Well, that is so wonderful. I love all the guests you've had on your show, and you sing and play with them too. And it's like a big collaborative thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoy playing playing piano with other people and doing their material. If they'll let me, I'll do it.
Well, you've actually played on sessions for a few people that we may recognize some of these names. You played piano with Elvis Presley?
No, I played trumpet. Charlie McCoy. Charlie McCoy and I were booked as, you know, just extra musicians, anything they needed. We were there, and they wanted to do a song that had the twin trumpets like Herb Alpert, you know, Mexican sound.
Yeah.
And so Charlie and I had trumpets, and we went to the trunks of our cars, brought in our trumpets, and played this one or two songs.
It's not something you expect to hear. Well, we need trumpet on this. Well, hold on a second. I'll just go to my car and get one. Only in
Nashville. Well, we used to carry all these instruments in the trunks of our cars because who knows what anybody would want. And that was our excuse for being on the session and getting paid.
Right. And that's the cheapest cartage fee I've ever heard of. Instead,
yeah.
these people bring your instruments. Usually in Nashville, for those listening, cartage is a company that, you know, you store your instruments for sessions. If you're a session player in these buildings, and they bring them to each session, so you don't have to cart them there yourself. And so Ray Stevens, you should have started your own. You should have started cartage back then.
Yeah, I should have. I missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, no. Well, I think you've done all right. You produced Dolly Parton in the early days of her career. I definitely want to talk about that. I did not know that.
Well, I did her first sessions, and it was a lot of fun. Now, I think we cut some great records, but they didn't make it. You know, they were considered too pop, I think, but I don't know. They're still good though.
Well, I'm going to go dig around for those. I would love to hear them. And you recorded with Waylon Jennings in his early days as well.
I was singing harmony with him on Only Daddy Make You Walk the Line, or what is
Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line.
Yeah, that one. Right. That's me on top, straining every nerve.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah.
I love that harmony part. Okay, well, we're going to play it now. I did not know that was you. I'm learning a lot today. I did not know that was you.
I used to make a living playing on sessions as not only a musician, but a background singer. And, I worked with the Jordanaires a lot. And when one of the Jordanaires would get sick or something, I'd fill in. So it was a lot of fun back in those days. And I learned a lot. I'd moved to Nashville in 62 and came up here primarily to be on recording sessions. And I got sidetracked when I started having hit records. So, you know.
Well, that's a bummer. You got sidetracked when you started having hit records. Speaking of records and the pandemic, you know, you released the quarantine song in May of last year, which kind of was at the beginning of this thing. And it's hilarious. I listened to it. It talks about all the TV you're watching. I think we've all been watching a lot of TV this past year.
Oh, man.
It's very well written and it's fun. You know, you are known for just the cleverest lyrics. And so anybody who wants to hear new Ray Stevens, go listen to the quarantine song. You'll chuckle.
Well, you know, I didn't write that now. A friend of mine, Buddy Kalb, wrote that. And he also wrote the Mississippi Squirrel Revival song for me. But that song was written on the spur of the moment. I was booked to do a guest shot on Larry Black's Country Diner. And this was back when you couldn't get together. So we did everybody got their own camera and we all did a Zoom compilation. Yeah, something like that. And I was just in the studio and Buddy wrote the song the day before, and so I went in and cut a track and sang to it, and it was just a fluke that it was a big hit, but I guess it struck a nerve.
Speaking of striking nerves, we're in a bit of a different place in time with political correctiveness these days. And some of the songs that were really successful for you, one in particular, I don't know if in this day and age would fly, songs like Ahab the Arab and Bridget the Midget, songs like that, because we've just reached a point in time where I think everybody is, you know, obviously on a different page with all of that. I'm happy that they came out when they did is what I'm trying to get at, because I don't know if we would have them or not.
Yeah, that's true. People are so, I don't know. I don't understand what their thinking is, because some guy on one of the cable TV news shows called Ahab the Arab racist. And there's nothing at all racist about Ahab the Arab. I mean, when I was a kid, I read a book called Tales from the Arabian Nights. And it had stories in there like Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves and the phrase open sesame and, you know, things like that. So I wrote this song the night before the session about Ahab the Arab. And it was just a little story. And sure enough, it was a big hit. But lately, people have taken every opportunity, it seems to me, to call anything racist, and they don't even bother to check into it or listen to it or anything else.
I hear you. You know, I know you that you had a theater in Branson, and as did Mel Tillis, and I'm actually touring now with his daughter Pam, and she says that her father really enjoyed being in Branson. What are your thoughts on playing Branson?
Branson was great. I enjoyed it. It was very, very successful. We used to sell out two shows a day, 2,000 seats every day, two shows a day, 6 days a week. That's how hot Branson was. And it was just a lot of fun. Of course, it was tiring, because you do 12 shows in a week, you're ready to lie down on Sunday and rest a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, speaking of, you know, you're a member of the Hall of Fame. We recently lost Hall of Famer Charlie Pride. who you also had on your TV show.
Yes.
Can you
yes.
speak to the gentleman that Charlie was and his talent and what he meant to our industry?
Well, you know, he was a sort of a groundbreaker as far as crossing over. Black country singers were not very prevalent when Charlie came along, but he was just charming and very lovable and very talented and did a great job, and everybody loved him. You know, he sold more records on RCA than Elvis.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that either.
I didn't either till he was on the show. And wow. I found that out myself, you know, when Charlie was a guest on the TV show.
I'm learning a lot during this interview, Ray. This is amazing. I do want to know, because you are such a hilarious guy and have such a great sense of humor. Can you remember the best prank you've ever pulled on somebody on the road, or the best prank that was ever pulled on you?
Oh, no, I guess I don't think I can. I guess I block those things out. I don't know.
Or an audience member that stands out, did something during a show or anything like that, because I know that people want to hear about that stuff. If you can remember it, if not, we can edit this out.
Well, when The Streak was a big hit, I got streaked a lot, and that was fun, you know, to see pretty girls running through the audience with no clothes. That was a lot of fun.
I'm sure. Well, nowadays you just go to a festival and look out in the audience and you can see all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, or you can go to Mardi Gras.
No kidding.
They've been doing it for years.
Well, I am so honored to be talking to you. And how have you been doing during the quarantine? What have you been doing to keep yourself busy? I obviously, all these albums that you're producing and putting out are keeping you probably pretty busy. But
yeah, I've been in the studio a lot, and I'm remodeling an old house that I bought.
Nice.
So I enjoy that, you know, and I've been doing that and, you know, trying to keep busy.
That's fun to do, isn't it? I'm a bit of a remodeler myself, and some people think I've got real estate addiction problems, but I'm remodeling an old house right now too. It's a lot of fun. You open the walls up in a house like that and realize that it was on fire at one time when you see the framework. But it's a fun thing to do and a fun project, and I'm glad that you're staying busy. And soon enough, hopefully, we'll be able to get back out there and play for people, right?
Well, soon I'll be able, hopefully, to open the cabaret back up and start doing shows here. I hope we're shooting for this summer and latest fall. So hopefully we can open up June or July, but it might be September before we can get open. I don't know. We're kind of testing the waters. People are still, I think, a little reticent, a little hesitant to go out in a big crowd. They're afraid they might get the COVID. So I can't blame them for that, but I think it's loosening up, especially with the vaccines that are out.
Yes, indeed it is. It is. And my hope is to be back out on the road in July or August myself. So hopefully, and I would love to come and hang out with you at Cabaret at some point too. I would be honored to do that. So
we'd love to have you.
Well, thank you so much, Ray Stevens. It's an honor to talk to you on Country Gold. Folks can get more information about your four new albums, your Cabaret Theater, your PBS TV show, and everything else at raystevens.com. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Country Gold, Ray.
Thank you, Terry.
Country Gold with Terry.